The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpant Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I want to say thank you. Thank you for watching this show. Thank you for supporting this show. And thank you for supporting my special. Go check it out. It's on my YouTube. It's called Lefty Son. It's something I directed, produced, did all of it, and very proud of it. All right. So check that out. Share it with some friends. And then come see me on tour, all new material coming on tour, starting in Fort Wayne, Indiana, May 26th and 27th. I'll be in Tacoma, Washington on June 23rd and 24th and Appleton, Wisconsin, July 7th and the 8th. Yeah, that's Indy 500 weekend. So for the 14 people that are going to be left in Fort Wayne, come on out and see your boy. And if you got to have more, then you got to check out the Patreon. It's called The Honeydew With Y'all. It's $5 a month. There's no tiers and levels and shit like that. It's just The Honeydew With Y'all. And y'all have the craziest fucking stories out there. Check it out. It's worth a month of it, I promise you. You sign up for a year, you're getting over a month free, all right? You're also getting the Honeydew a day early. You're getting it ad-free. You're getting the audio and the video separately if you want it, and no additional cost, all right? Now, that's the biz. You guys know what we're doing over here. We're highlighting the lowlights, and I'm very excited to have this guest back on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Anthony Ferraro. Welcome back to the Honeydew, Anthony.
What's going on?
It's a pleasure to have you back, young man.
It's good to hear your voice in person.
That's nice of you to say. Thank you. I can't tell. You're the only guy I could tell how good looking I am.
You know what I mean? Man.
I'm a good look. I'm telling you, don't listen to what anybody says.
You are a great looking black man.
You know what? You just said, see, before we started recording, when you first heard me, you thought I was a black guy. I said, you know, I've gotten that a lot. And that's how Tom Segura and I met. And Tom Segura has sight.
It's your cadence, man. I don't know
you
what
should
it
see.
Is.
You should see. I got nice. I'm an Italian American. I got nice olive skin. I don't have that white shit.
Yeah,
I got nice olive skin.
I've been told I have darker skin in the summertime.
Yeah, for
then
sure.
Then I get pasty.
I look nicer with a little, you know, sun kissed on my face. All right. Before we get into everything we're going to talk about today, please plug, promote everything.
Yeah, I got everything's on asfvision.com, ASF Vision across the board for social medias. I got my the Four Bad Eyes podcast with Dan Mancina, everywhere you stream podcasts. And then my wrestling documentary. Even if you don't know wrestling, it's a great film to watch because it's a lot more than that. It's about like overcoming obstacles and pushing through adversity. It's called A Shot in the Dark on Amazon Prime, Vimeo.
The great title.
Yeah, Vimeo and Apple TV and Google Play.
Now, you were telling me outside that your brother and someone else, who else was it, did a documentary about, that did actually produce this?
Yeah, so this guy, my brother made a little teaser about me talking about what it's like to be a blind wrestler, wrestling like sighted kids. And dealing with, like,
That's what you all call us, sighted?
Yeah, you fucking able-bodied pieces of shit. Sorry, demonetizing already. You struck a nerve.
If YouTube demonetizes this, it's a hate crime, goddamn.
That's it, ableist.
Sighted, you called us, this motherfucker.
You sighties.
Sighties.
But, no, it was
I'm already learning so much.
People used to say, like, because when I wrestled, you start from the line, you know, in the middle, and I would have to start, it's two-hand touch, so my hands would be touching yours, and then the second referee blows the whistle, we start wrestling, you have to stay in contact, and the second we break away, they gotta blow the whistle so no one gets hurt,
okay,
and bring us back to the center. So people would say I had an unfair advantage, or that I was faking my blindness to get an unfair advantage in wrestling.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but this is what I call, it's actually, it's an unfair disadvantage. Yeah. You don't have sight. It's like those guys with those fucking legs in the Olympics that are like the spring legs and they're hauling ass past everybody. They're like, that's an unfair advantage. I'm like,
so like you have an unfair no legs.
Disadvantage. It's an unfair disadvantage.
That's what I'm saying. I remember one time someone was saying to my dad, like, you know, it's messed up. You're having your kid fake blindness to get an unfair advantage. And at the time when he was doing that, I was tripping over the bleachers, having no idea where I was.
Trying to get after him. Like, listen, you mother.
The first time it happened was my eighth. So seventh grade was my first year wrestling. Uh-huh. And I was awful. Like, I was like, I'm going to go out there and beat everyone. I went 2-12, and one of the wins was a forfeit where you just get your hand raised.
Yeah, the kid didn't make weight.
Yeah. And then I like started training every day at a club, four nights a week, going to tournaments every weekend. And eighth grade, I ended up going undefeated. And in the
try. Now, are you wrestling sighted kids?
Yes, able bodies.
Able bodies, and you're 8-0 in that motherfucker.
I'm 24-0.
Damn! In eighth grade.
Yeah. And then I was doing really well. And then the last match, the last tournament.
What weight class?
160 my whole life. Oh, hell still fighting 160.
Okay. Are you really?
Yeah. So I was losing 13-0. And the kid, we're on our feet. And my dad's like, don't give up. You know, you got to throw him. I threw him to his back and pinned him. Everyone goes crazy. And the dad, the
kid. You hit him like a lateral drop?
Yeah, lat drop. Exactly. That's exactly what he was leaning.
That's the grand slam of fucking leaning. Wrestling. He's leaning.
And then someone's like, you're out of bounds. I pulled the kid inside. I was like, and freaking prayed that ref was going to slap the mat. I was like, hey, you know, dear life.
Oh my God, thank God. I'm not even happy. I'm relieved.
Exactly. I didn't even like jump up. Yeah. I was like, that really happened. Yeah. And the kid shook my hand, no problem. The dad came over to my dad and was like, your son has an unfair advantage in this sport. It's not fair to my kid. He needs to go in the Special Olympics.
What's the unfair advantage?
That I have to stay in contact. He's like, it throws my kid's game off.
I see.
Then my dad's like, get out of here. This kid just worked his ass off. Like, you know, whatever. And my brother saw me dealing with all this stuff, like, in high school, because he was a great wrestler.
Can I forget. I apologize. No, were you born blind, or did you lose your sight at a certain age?
No, I was born with a degenerative eye condition.
Okay.
And it was sort of, like, it was still terrible sight, but I used to be able to see, like, pretty decent for me. And then seventh grade, junior year of high school, and, like, a couple years ago, lost, like, huge chunks. You just wake up, and you're like, oh, shit.
And you know
this I'm not seeing today. And
damn.
Yeah, so that was brutal, but you just, life keeps going.
All right, so your brother, I'm sorry, your brother's seeing you deal with all this stuff.
Yeah, and he took fifth in the state of New Jersey for wrestling, so he was really good. And he was like, dude, it's just amazing you're getting up and not letting these people stop you, and you're working your butt off. And he took a teaser, like 2-minute trailer teaser thing of me just talking about what it's like to be a blind wrestler and growing up. And I was also accepted to a high school that both my brothers went to. And then when the president died, they sent a letter saying you're no longer accepted. We don't want to have to provide any accommodations for you or anything like
that. Who sent this?
This was a high school that I was supposed to go to. It was a private high school.
And they were like, you're never mind?
Yeah. They rescinded my, if that's the right word, rescinded my acceptance after the president who gave me the handwritten letter of acceptance died.
And that was
eighth grade year.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. And that was brutal because I was like, I can't go somewhere because it's something I can't even control with my life, you know? So acceptance was.
Wait, can you read Braille?
Yeah, that's what I read.
Did that letter come in Braille?
No.
Well, okay, which is cruel as fuck. But but here's the thing. Someone else is sharing that news with you in your life. There's two people that are being like, fuck, that sucks.
Yeah.
Who's reading that to you?
My mom.
Oh.
And I'll never forget.
That's got a mom.
She was at this school at the meeting. They wouldn't let me go to the meeting because they didn't want me to have to experience that. My parents wanted me to be there, but the school wouldn't let me.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was like crying like crazy. I went to this school in Philadelphia when I was younger. I used to go from Jersey to Philly every day to learn. It was a school for the blind to learn how to read and write and Braille and all that stuff. And the principal was there. It was a Catholic school. And she was there, Sister Meg, I'll never forget. And my mom's like crying in the meeting like any like mom would be, you know, just so upset. And my Sister Meg looks at my mom. She's like, and the school is called, there's Christian in the name. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to shout out the school, but the sister looks at my mom. She's like, "Sue, what are you crying for? This school ain't Christian." And they walked out. And
the nun.
Like, yeah. So it was like real powerful. And so there was all that I dealt with. My brother was just like inspired by me, like just not letting any of that stop me. I talked about what it was like to be a blind wrestler. And my junior year when I won districts, my brother posted it saying, "This is my little brother. I want to make a film about him. I don't have all the resources. If you're a camera operator, producer, whatever, like, please reach out." And Chris Sikorsky, who's an independent filmmaker, who was my high school teammate, my high school coach's college teammate.
No shit.
Yeah. He reached out and to my brother and said, "What are you doing with this? This story's amazing." My brother wanted to make like a short film, mm-hmm. like, you know, 10, 20 minutes. And Chris and him sat down and decided to make a full feature length of my senior year and like follow me around everywhere, get all this like raw footage and put it together at the end. And people were like, "How is it having all those cameras?" I'm like, "I didn't see a thing, so it didn't bother me." So that was one thing, but it definitely added some pressure because the whole story is like trying to become the first blind state champion of New Jersey.
And that's never happened?
No, to this day.
Well, so you know what happened. Alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. But
I mean, unless you got one more in you, yeah. You got one more.
Dude,
run
every
in
time
you.
I watch that film, it gives me freaking PTSD because I lost by a point to go to states. It was brutal, and so they followed me around, got like thousands of hours of footage, and then after senior year, it kind of got put on the shelf because life happened for everyone. Mm-hmm. And then I graduated 2013, so in 2015. Chris takes it off the shelf. He's like, "There's an amazing story here. I got to put it together." He puts together the first 15 minutes, and he calls my brother all excited. They're both pumped. And the day or two before that, my brother was supposed to meet with him and see it. He didn't wake up from his sleep at the age of 27. And it was like,
from what?
It just bad bash. Like,
no.
Yeah, he wasn't like that at all. But it's just one time could be the wrong.
Yeah.
Of like, I don't even know, man. It was just, it was really tough. And I remember I was living in California at the time I came home. And to add insult to injury, 2 months or a couple months after that happened, I'm at my buddy's house and someone's like, "You got to go home. You got to go home." And like just pulling me home. Like this voice in my head was so loud. And I get home. I was like, "I got to go home." They were all going out. And I made my buddy drive me home. And I found my mom at the bottom of the stairs in a coma.
What?
She had fallen down the stairs and like hit her head. And it was like a traumatic brain injury. She was in a coma for like 2 months. And it was like the scariest thing ever.
Is she okay now?
Yeah, she's doing amazing. God. Like miraculous recovery. She just...
And that's within 2 months of your brother passing away?
Not two. It was August to January. So it was pretty close enough. Yeah. And you know, when life happens,
well, this
it happens
is what you
hard.
Were telling me outside. Yeah. Like to add insult to injury, your brother dies right before the documentary comes out, doesn't get to see it. You can't fucking see it. That's what I'm saying. Nobody in the family seeing this motherfucking documentary. Here's another thing I'm realizing too, and I hate to say this, but I have to because it's what the show is all about. But your brother wanted to make a short film. If they would have gone with the shortcut, it might have made it out. He'd have seen it.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
They had to go feature length. Goddamn it. Had to go feature length, you motherfucker.
Oh, man. I never thought about it like that.
I figured you had. I figured
that
you
is
had.
So
oh man, God, that's terrible.
Oh, you had to do the fucking long one.
I'm telling you, I feel it's in my bones. I feel like
I know,
need to do the short
true.
One here, man.
He didn't even see the trailer. Damn it,
oh, God.
And after he died, Chris came to the funeral and like vowed like to us and my family, like, "No matter what it takes, I'm finishing this thing."
Yeah.
It was a great story, like in his memory for everyone.
Hell
and
yeah.
I gotta give a lot of credit to Chris because he had all these different cameras that were taking footage the whole time and like people helping him. It was all out of pocket, like funded independently. And he went through like tens of thousands of hours of footage, getting the right angles to line things up just to make this a story. And he did an incredible job. Like, it, you wouldn't think you're watching a documentary. It's like a movie almost. And
that's great.
There's some really special scenes in there where my brother surprises me. There's an interview with my brother at the end that I didn't even know about. Yeah, so it's like my brother lives on forever through that film, which is great. And we raised money on Kickstarter. We had to raise money after. So we had the trailer that Chris made and like told the backstory. And we had to raise $36,000 by the end of the month or else it all goes back. And in 4 days and 6 hours, we raised 36 grand. And then,
wow.
Yeah, it was incredible. Like all these people coming to bat and like just people we had no idea who they were all over the country and world, like just giving money to the film and wanting to see it finish. And we raised like 87K at the end of the month.
Fuck yeah.
But we actually needed that much. We were just scared to put that.
Yeah.
So it was amazing to see that happen. Well, and then when the trailer went viral across like a bunch of platforms, had like a couple million views, and I'm sitting at home feeling sorry for myself, like wrestling didn't go as planned. Basically, like I did really well. I won like 122 matches in high school.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, and won districts twice. I thought I sucked at the end of it, but when I look back, I'm like, I actually did pretty good. You know, it's hard to see that in the moment.
And that's a one-on-one sport. I was just talking to a friend about this yesterday. Of all the sports I played, and I played soccer, basketball, baseball, football, lacrosse, fuck, you name it, we played it. And wrestling was the one sport where if you truly cheated yourself, you literally paid for it. Oh, you knew. There wasn't a guy behind you that could pick up the fumble or you know, miss follow you up on a missed ground ball. It's just if you, like that the kid you hit, he was leaning.
Yeah. He was leaning.
There was nobody in there could push him back up and help him. It's just him. And
there's only one person you could blame.
That's it.
The referee.
That's it. The ref. It's always the ref.
It's always the ref. Mm-hmm. But that was, so I'm sitting home, like, watching all this stuff happen with the film, and I'm like, damn, like, I want to get back after something, like a goal, you know? Like, I need to really strive for something because I'm feeling, like, very stagnant at the moment and don't feel like I'm moving forward. I'm still grieving my brother, like, always grieving him, but that time is so fresh. And I'm sitting home, I get a phone call, and they're like, is this Anthony Ferraro? I'm like, yeah, who the hell is this? And they're like, it's
the United States. You always answer the phone.
They're like, it's the United States Olympic Committee. I'm like, you got the wrong number.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Who the fuck is this?
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I have the wrong number.
So who is it calling?
The United States Olympic Committee.
Okay.
And they're like, we saw your documentary. If you have any of that talent left.
If you you still got it. How old is it? How old is the documentary, bro?
So it came out like 2018, but it was from high school.
Yeah,
so it was
they're
like, if you got anything left in you, would you consider training judo to try and compete in the Paralympics? And I was like, shit, I guess this was that call I was looking for. And like, when these opportunities come in life, you got to take
them. Listen, that's opportunity calling,
literally. Yeah, exactly.
And you try to be like, who the fuck is this?
Who the fuck are you?
So wait, you never had taken or studied judo before?
No.
But they're asking like, hey, we got this slot we need to fill.
Yeah, well, they're trying to get, so with Paralympic judo, the only disability is visual impairment. So
what do you mean? Oh, that's the only one you're allowed to have?
Yeah, in judo.
I see.
Yeah, so it was now it's like I go.
Why? Why couldn't you be missing like part of your arm?
I think it's just.
Why couldn't you?
I don't know, man, because you can't grab.
You can't, but you could still get in there. I bet, look, you know damn well like I do. It doesn't. Strength has got nothing to do with your senses. This motherfucker will figure out a way to chicken wing your neck off.
That's
you know what
the
I mean?
Truth.
Like, it could be a disadvantage.
No, that's
it could
a
be
good
another
point.
Unfair disadvantage.
It's a great point. I don't know why they don't.
Why? Why couldn't you do judo with just missing a hand?
That's a great question. You would think they would now.
Would that be acceptable? Is missing a hand acceptable for the Paralympics? What is the actual definition? Is it any? What do you know? Do they have a written definition?
There's
or?
All different disabilities for different sports, okay. Which is kind of crazy.
Okay,
like there's wheelchair basketball.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
So they kind of, I don't know.
But are you allowed to play that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think so.
You're like, I don't know where the fuck I am out there, but man, line me up, but I'm hitting threes all day, motherfucker.
I don't think you want me playing that.
What if you're Steph Curry from the fucking wheelchair?
Dude, I had, you know Marshawn Lynch?
Yeah.
I was at an event, a cannabis and basketball event in Arizona, and I was trying to make a layup. And I had Kelly, my wife, tapping on the backboard with my cane.
Oh, yeah. I've seen people do this for a foul shot.
So I went up to do a layup, and I had no idea that Marshawn was trying to block me the whole time. And I jumped over him.
Like, no,
what? Yeah, I made it. And people were like, Marshawn was really trying to get you. Because we were playing this joke. He's
is
like,
that
you
somewhere on video?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to share that.
I threw a football to Gronk. I've done a few things. It's been
hell
fun.
Yeah.
But he was the whole time. He's like, you ain't fucking blind. And like just messing with me. And we had a great time. But and then Derek Fisher taught me how to shoot a free throw.
Okay.
So that was fun. But yeah, the Paralympics called and I just started training like nonstop.
Now, how old were you when you started training for that?
2018. So what's it, 23? 5 years ago? 23.
So you're 28 now?
Yeah.
And at 20, so 5 years out of high school, you start training for the Paralympics.
Yeah.
And in a sport you've never trained
done.
In. Okay.
They sent me, it's all self-funded, so I had to get myself places.
But what?
Yeah, there's no money in the Paralympics. It's bullshit. Everything's self-funded, getting all these competitions, and you got to get to the competitions.
What's the reward? A medal?
I guess so.
What about your cash back? Like, it cost me $15,000 to get here.
Now they're starting to, like...
Yeah, you took third.
The you key got somebody is to try to get sponsors. But now they're starting to pay for if you get a medal, like, at world championships and stuff, they'll, like, pay you a couple thousand dollars, which isn't that much
that
in the grand
bullshit.
Scheme of things. So it's really just It's I don't know, man.
Well, what actually is it?
See, I struggle with that thought all the time. 'Cause
it sounds to me like let's strip away who's involved and all that. Like let's get all our feelings out of it. It sounds like a company based off of people funding themselves to get to these places to do these events so that the said big company can get the sponsors and stuff and make the money and pay them nothing.
And you're like the show for them.
That's it.
Yeah, it's crazy. It
sounds a lot like comedy.
Great parallel. And but they do for like people that have placed in the Olympics before, they'll fund their journey moving forward.
Okay.
So they're like, this person's worth my time type of thing.
And so then you head out on this journey. Do you go out and do it?
Dude, I went to England. I went to Tokyo. I went to Brazil. I went to
How
Germany.
Much money? Hold on. Before we talk about how well you did, how much money do you think you've spent on the Paralympics?
$50,000.
Jesus Christ. How much you think you've got back from them?
3 concussions.
Oh, shit, that's a great answer. Oh, man. Fuck. All right, so how many years are you doing this?
Man, you're making me not want to do this anymore.
You're telling me. You said you question it all the time.
I do.
I feel like you're asking the right questions, is what I'm saying here. I don't blame you for questioning it.
I guess it's more like staying in shape, the mental, like having something to challenge yourself, because you always got to be out of your comfort zone in life, you know?
And how are you doing out there?
I'm doing
it. Are you whipping these Brazil kids' ass?
I took third place in Brazil.
Fuck yeah.
I beat a Brazilian while the whole fucking arena's going, Brazil, Brazil. Like shaking the shit. Yeah. I was like, America, motherfucker.
Who's got the best crowds? Who shows up
Brazil,
like hard?
Brazil, for sure. Yeah, they show up hard.
Yeah, they do, huh?
And then like these like Central Asian countries. Like I went to Azerbaijan.
Never even heard of it.
I didn't hear of it before I went there. I had to learn how to pronounce that shit. And like, those people are nuts because all they do is wrestle and do judo. And so the
whole people of people
everyone.
Doing that.
Yeah. And if
it's
you're
like
blind,
we'll
soccer.
Throw you
in the Paralympics.
Yeah.
And then So I stuffed like 5 years of judo in like 2 years and like 15 almost. So I got like my brown belt pretty quick just from competitions. Like I won the black belt division a few times in like local sighted tournaments. And
are you wrestling any sighted kids during this at all?
Not in the qualifying tournaments.
So when you're doing judo, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're good.
I just want to know, is it only sight? You said the only missing sight.
Yes.
Okay.
Some have deaf, but they have to be blind
okay,
also.
I was going
to
ask you that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
Yeah. Helen Keller's out there.
You listen. I know you can't hear. But unless you can't see, you can't fucking. I don't know if somebody's translating this to you right now, but unless you can't see, man, you ain't getting in this.
Can you sign that, please? No, and the crazy thing is, there's people that cheat, that like countries will cheat to get people that could actually see in the Paralympics.
How do they do it?
They just lie on the vision tests. And now they have like really strict like optometrists and stuff when you go to classify your vision.
I was going to say, like, these people, how do they act blind? How do you act blind?
I don't know.
How do you act blind?
You just run into shit, hold on to people. I've been doing it my
glasses.
Whole life.
They wear glasses and shit
like that. Yeah, that stuff. But like, for example, like a country like, I'm trying to think, like maybe Ukraine, like they get treated like royalty when they are like medalists.
Really?
Some of them have gotten sports cars as rewards in the past.
Get the fuck
How
out
the hell
of
are you going to give a blind person a sports car that they're driving around? So this last...
What do the Americans give? Nothing.
They get a medal.
A medal. Here's some McDonald's bucks.
Yeah, because we're sponsored by McDonald's. Thank you for getting us sponsored.
Free refills for life.
Hey, can you only wear Nike because we're sponsored by Nike? I'm not sponsored by Nike.
I'm
not
that's what I'm
me.
Saying. That's what I'm saying. There it is.
And it's like,
listen to the corporations too, man.
Listen, man, they didn't even like me in the beginning because I had long hair. That's how like freaking like cookie cutter they are too. They want you to be a certain way. And they did not like me.
I am. I'm blind,
yeah,
motherfucker.
I'm blind.
Show me the circle.
Get the hell out of here.
Jesus Christ. It's a lot of rules in this motherfucking Paralympics.
I need sponsors.
Oh, my God. All right. So let's shift gears for a second because congratulations. You and your wife are about to have a baby, your first baby, right?
Yeah, August
It's fucking
5th.
Awesome. Due in August.
Yeah.
Do you know if you're having a boy or you don't have to say.
No, we're not finding out.
Great. Yeah. I love it.
Did you find out?
Yeah, I found out. Yeah.
I thought we would, but we decided not to. Because you don't know if you're ever going to have another one. So it's like, why not have the surprise?
It's true.
And I'm going to have a nurse whisper in my ear when the baby comes out so I can be the one to yell, it's a boy or it's a girl.
It has a penis.
I feel like a girl. That's what I feel like.
Let's talk about this because I was saying outside, and you can ask your wife, like, sight has nothing to do with it. Being a new parent is fucking terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
With all your senses. I can't imagine doing it without sight. So the terrifying part is terrifying for everybody, and you're throwing in no sight on top of this. So I have a couple questions first because I'm already having anxiety for you. But do you or can you tell if your child is predisposed to blindness? Are there tests or anything like that? Are you worried about that?
There are, but some of them are like invasive, and I'm not worried about it. If the baby's blind, it's going to have the best damn teacher in the world.
No doubt.
That's one thing.
No
and
doubt.
Then second, it's like, why put that fear in you the whole time? And, my condition is so rare. Like, in order for my baby to be blind, I have something called Leber's congenital amaurosis, and it's all genetics. Like, so there's probably thousands of different types of genes of Leber's congenital amaurosis, and within that, in order for the kid to have Leber's, my gene, Kelly has to be a carrier of the same exact gene as my condition inside the genes.
Okay.
And my parents didn't know they were carriers. And I'm the last of five, and they all had 1 in 4 chance of being blind. And I was the only motherfucker that got it. Yeah. Either win the lottery or be blind.
There's no quick fix for anxiety and depression. It's not finding a new therapist or starting an exercise routine. It's not more regular meditation or a better diet. Sometimes you need something to unlock your brain, a new way of thinking about and seeing the world, and maybe that thing is guided ketamine therapy from MindBloom. There's a new tool to improve your mental health, at-home ketamine therapy. MindBloom is the leader in at-home ketamine therapy, having safely helped thousands of people overcome their anxiety and depression, me included. Unlike traditional talk therapy, ketamine works quickly and doesn't have the unpleasant side effects of traditional antidepressants. In a study of over 1,200 MindBloom clients, 89% reported improvements in their anxiety and depression after only two sessions. I've gone through quite a bit in the last 6 months, and I can tell you that this absolutely helped me with my anxiety. So right now, MindBloom is offering my listeners $100 off your first six-session program when you sign up at mindbloom.com/honeydew and you use the promo code honeydew. Take the first step and break free from your anxiety and depression with MindBloom. mindbloom.com/honeydew and use promo code honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew. Oh, man. All right. So talk to me about being a new, like, what are your concerns? Because I, forget even being a new dad, because that's a separate thing than being a mom, of course. But being a new parent is terrifying, especially today. I'm not trying to talk you out of this like I'm trying to talk you out of that Paralympics. But
I'll tell you everything.
Yeah, tell me, what are you going through right now? Like, what are your biggest fears? How are you prepping? What are you doing?
So we got like all the little things, like the bassinet and the carriers and the stroller, all that stuff, diapers. But I'm worried, like, one, if it's a girl, I'm worried about changing diapers, like sanitary reasons. Like, if sure. I get, you know, poop in the wrong spot.
Yeah, you can't see.
Yeah, like that I'm worried about. Two, this is more like...
You usually shit on a boy's dick.
Yeah.
You're not worried about that at all. Fuck his little nuts. It's fine. You the baby. Yeah, got some shit on the baby's nuts.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. That's normal.
He's not going to get an infection.
Yeah, he's going to look like everyone else.
Just hose them off. Little spray.
Yeah, hose them off. Put them in the sink. But that, like, I'm thinking I'll use the sink, man.
Oh,
like,
you just should 100% use the sink. Yeah, don't listen. Do it however you do it.
Yeah.
Just do it well for your child so your child fucking loves you and respects you and, you know, looks
That's
up
all
to
it
you.
Is.
That's it. Just do, listen. Listen to nobody and everybody and then do whatever the fuck works the best for you. That's it. I did the sink. They even make those little tubs to put in the sink and stuff too.
Yeah, exactly. Hell that's what I'm thinking.
As long as your
like
sink's clean. I mean, don't be putting it in there with all the garbage disposal.
And shit.
Yeah. You better make sure.
Yeah,
you're not on the garbage disposal side. You better make sure.
Oh, thank God we don't have one of those.
Ceiling fans, watch out for ceiling fans. You lift the fucking. Yeah, for real.
Shit.
For real, ceiling fans.
I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm, there you go.
And then this is like more as a parent, I guess, because I've lost a brother, mm-hmm. and you've seen like your family go through heartbreak. I'm worried about the first time my kid has to experience like adversity or heartbreak. Because I know that, like, I've been through adversity and it sucks, but it does make you stronger. But watching that happen to a, you know, your child is like, that's got to be rough, you know, like them going through something emotionally or mentally. Like, I'm worried about stuff like that too.
It's going to start fucking with you a little bit. But here's the good news for you. You have a mom. Are you close with your mom?
Yeah. I have 60 cousins that all live in
Jesus
the area.
Jesus Christ.
My mom's the second oldest of 13.
Holy shit.
Yeah, like a lot of babysitters.
So, but the thing is, unfortunately, here's another unfair disadvantage. You have your mom to talk to about the fears of losing a child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
like you really that's going to shift for you in life. Seeing your mom now as a parent and a person, and now she's got to raise a son who's doesn't have sight, and she just buried a kid. Like, man.
Yeah, they went above and beyond. Like, especially with my blindness, they made sure I had the right tools. And, like, mm-hmm. I'm forever grateful for that. I remember being at a store, and my mom would be like, I'd be like 5 years old, can I get this toy? She'd be like, here's $5. Go find the counter and pay for it. And I'd be like, what? I don't want this toy anymore.
So are you just, was it just the two of you, you and your brother?
No, so I'm one of five. So I have two older brothers, two older sisters. And, yeah, we all grew up together in the same house. My dad's like my best friend in the whole world. So, you know, my dad's like, your mom was tough. If it was up for me, I'd be coddling you everywhere, holding your hand through life. But I'm thankful that, you know, they let me make my mistakes and go out and, like, be independent. Like, I grew up, like, skateboarding, surfing, and then I used to ride bikes until I started hitting parked cars. My mom was like, no more bikes. Yeah. I'll never forget that day. I went ass over tea kettle into the windshield. People used to call my mom, like, Anthony's out on a bike. Like,
oh, yeah, he's riding him. He's out here wrecking bikes, okay? Oh, shit.
Oh, man. Dude. I can't even believe I'm having a baby. We only had sex one time.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God, dude. Don't fucking say that. I was like, that's a miracle, baby.
No, I'm joking. But it's crazy, like, how, because some people, they say it takes years, you know, of trying, or
it
like,
can.
A year.
Yeah,
yeah, it can.
Yeah, you don't know.
It happened quick.
Good.
After trying, so.
Good, because, yeah, it could take, people. Some people can't. They have to have help with it, you know, it could take a while.
Yeah.
All right, what other fears? You said you worried about your child's first time dealing with adversity. What else? Is your dad still alive, by
yeah.
the way? Yeah. And so you've got him as a person to talk to. Absolutely. As a father for advice as well. So that's really good for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm glad that Kelly and I both work from home, so mm-hmm. we will be able to be around the kid, like, all the time, mm-hmm. which I think is important. Like, a lot of people go and, you know, after like 3-4 months, they're back to work and there's a babysitter now, mm-hmm. and you're spending like valuable, like, key moments away from your kid. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy with that. I'm scared, like, because once they start walking, they start, like, trying to run away from you and shit.
Dude, that's when it changes.
I'm putting ankle bracelets on that kid.
Dude, that's when it changes, dude. It does. As soon as they can walk. And I'm telling you, there's something, I don't know what it is, genetically weird about toddlers, but they can run like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
But their legs are all weird and shit. Like, they shouldn't. Scientifically, it looks like they shouldn't be able to run like that. But they can haul ass. And you're like, oh. And when you get my age and you have a kid, like, everything's tight. I can't just break out into a full sprint anymore yeah. right away. I got to stretch for 30 fucking minutes. You know what
you're
I'm
like,
saying?
Like, hold up for 20.
Yeah.
Damn, yeah. So that, like, just, it doesn't bother me so much, but I know there's going to be people's opinions about, like, oh, he's blind and had a baby. Like, that's messed up.
Really?
Yeah.
You've dealt with that kind of?
Yeah, like, on the internet, like, some people will be like, also, like, it's irresponsible to have a kid if he could they could have your disease. So it's like, I don't know. Things like that kind of bother me.
I didn't know you were getting that kind of hate.
Not much, which I'm grateful for, because I get hate every day on the internet.
For people, what?
People usually say I'm not blind.
Why?
Because they think I'm just using it to get followers. I'm like, I'll trade you all my followers right now for your two good eyes.
Yeah.
It's crazy. People always trying to, like, you know,
break
down that I'm not blind. They're like, well, he looked at the camera. I'm like, yeah, because my wife's yelling at me where the camera is.
I also know where sound is, yeah. too, motherfucker.
But what else? The diaper changing, definitely. Just that's one. Me and Dan, Dan's a blind dad, mm-hmm. and he taught me. We did a video together to promo the podcast. We do, like, little TikToks and stuff like that, reels. And he had me changing this. We got a baby doll that you could feed the food to, and it poops it out.
For real?
Yeah. It's like this little thing. And he was showing me how to change the diaper. And he was, in the video, he was, like, laying on the bed while I was changing the diaper with a mouthful of water, spitting it in my face so I can get ready for the pee in the face.
Yeah.
That was funny.
You're not even going to see it coming, dude. You won't even see it coming.
And then, like, another thing is, like, since I'm blind, like, I move fast for a blind person, and sometimes it's to my, like, fault, like, it's to my demise. You know, I'll be running through my apartment, and a door will be half open, and I just smack that thing with my head. So I'm worried, like, I need to really slow down when I have the kid so I can make sure the baby's safe when I'm carrying them.
All right. Do you use your cane around your home, or are you fully used to your home where you don't need it?
Fully used to my
home.
Except
for shit like that where a door might be halfway open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm constantly, like, you know, I'm a train wreck. I'll like bump into shit all the time. My shins have permanent dents in them from like just running into stuff.
Is there anywhere else you are comfortable not using your cane outside of your home?
Like my parents' house, but my mom's always moving shit around.
Yeah.
So that's another one. Just like places I frequent often, like if we're just hanging out, mm-hmm. but not like grocery stores or anywhere like in the public. And especially like I used to live in New York with Kelly, and I was so anti-cane. Like I wouldn't use it because I was afraid how people looked at you and how the people will talk to you slower and louder. And
do they really?
Yeah, it's insane. I'm like, I'm not deaf. I can actually hear better. Yeah.
They're doing that shit to you. Like, yeah, well, they're like, I hear you fine.
Anthony, so the blah blah blah. And I'm like, oh really? Like it's so demeaning. Like it's like, really, you gotta talk to me like that? And so I was living in New York and I wouldn't use my cane. And Kelly used to be like the first time we ever met, we went to the outlets. And I'm walking around trying to be cool guy, like not using a cane. And I'm walking with my feet, using my feet to feel. And we're in the Timberland store. I'll never forget this. She's like, do you need help? And I'm like, no, I got this. 2 minutes later, I run straight into the pole in the middle of the store. And she grabs me. She's like, get over here. So things like that, just freaking, I send it way too fast a lot. And then in the city, I kept shoulder checking people, and people would be like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And like get all pissed off. So then I started using the cane, and it started parting people like the Red Sea.
Is that
like,
right?
Yeah, people get out of your way. They look out for you more. Like when I lived there, I used to have like, you know, my homeless friends that would walk me down the street.
Nuh-uh. And
stuff. Yeah, we used to get along. It was just, I used to have guys read me the menu at the food trucks. Like, it was great.
That's nice.
So that opened a whole new world of freedom
mm-hmm.
and independence. My mom's a freaking orientation mobility instructor, which is like teaching kids how to use the cane. So I always tried to like rebel.
Wait. Did that come after? Yeah. I was going to say, what are the fucking odds?
I know.
So after you were born blind, she took up this occupation?
Yeah, she went back to school and got her master's.
Damn.
She actually got gifted like scholarship because we were in this huge court case because they wanted the public school in New Jersey wanted me to go there, but they were only going to give me like 2 hours of Braille training a week,
mm-hmm.
which was like, you're learning print every day. So it just wasn't enough. And my mom researched and found the best school in Philly, and they sent me there. But the state didn't want to provide any transportation. And they said, you don't need that training. Like, this is plenty type of thing, which sets you up to fail in the future. Mm-hmm. And then all these people from like different organizations came to like fight for me.
Wow.
And the Pennsylvania College of Optometry gifted my mom a scholarship to get her master's after that.
Fuck yeah.
So it was awesome. So she learned a lot. And then my sister became an optometrist.
No shit. Yeah. All right.
So that was pretty cool. One thing I'm worried about, I actually am a little worried, like not worried, but if the kid is blind, like I know what I've gone through being blind and like the depression and stuff, like that would suck, but at least having a good role model raising
Bingo.
It yeah
right
so
all right let me ask you some questions and you tell me how you deal with it. All right, let's talk about buckling the baby in the car seat.
You show me once I got that down.
You can do that all the clicks and make sure it's in there tight
I might
and everything
do it
and proper
backwards one time.
Well, they go backwards at first.
Oh shit,
they're rear facing first. And then you got to switch them around when they get big enough. Then eventually they're big enough and you're like, buckle your own motherfucking seatbelt, man. You know, they'll get there.
That's the thing. I'm going to teach this kid to do a lot. Like
That's what I wanted to ask. Are you going to teach them to be as independent as possible?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to teach them how to hold a camera and edit, too.
Yeah. Put them to work.
No, but thankfully, like, my partner is incredible. Like, Kelly, she's amazing. And I just know she's going to be the best mom. And I can learn from her too. And she's really good at find like something I've never done before and then showing me a method to do it. Like she's really good with that. And then she'll make things accessible. Like I'm curious to see how like what baby things we're gonna make accessible. Because like in our home, like she'll put dot like these bump dots on the washing machine so I know where everything is, like the buttons because it's touchscreen, and then like the spices in the kitchen, like that type of stuff. So she's really thoughtful in putting herself in my shoes. We even went to like a dining in the dark.
You trying to say she's pretty cool for a sighty?
Yeah, she's all right for an able body. Listen, man, I could never marry a blind person. I'd be screwed.
You would be,
I would be screwed.
You'd be
my
fucked.
Uber
you
bill would be out the window, dude.
Shit. Oh, shit.
I always tried to get an Uber driver job, but it never worked.
What about when do you think you'll feel comfortable enough to stay at home with the baby and for how long?
That's a good question. I've thought about this too. Like, I don't know if we're going to, so she's going to breastfeed, but I don't know if we're going to do like the bottles too. Mm-hmm. If we have the bottles, that'll be helpful. But I'm scared because when the baby cries, I'll start like freaking out. Like, I don't know what the baby's crying for. But I guess you just learn those things
right.
as it goes.
You're going to learn what the difference between hunger and pain and all those things are for sure.
And that, like, will. So maybe like.
But no offense, just looking at your baby also doesn't mean you got the answer either for that. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
I am worried, like, not worried. I am bummed I'm not going to be able to see, like, the baby smile and, like, when it laughs, like, the little faces it makes and stuff. Like, that's kind of a bummer. But. I'm sure that because, like, when you raise your kid, that's all they know at that time. So, like, they're going to be used to having a blind dad. Like, that's the other thing. I'm waiting for the day that my kid comes home and be like, Daddy, how come no other daddies are blind?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit, we got to have
But you can have that conversation also because your dad wasn't.
Yeah.
You know
exactly.
what I mean? But like, you don't understand. Like, mine wasn't. So, yeah. I'm the one blazing the fucking trail over here. Yeah,
exactly. And just making it normal. Like, I feel like the kid will learn, like, that, you know, dad can't see a wave. You got to hug him or something like that.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't even
like
think
that.
Of that. Sure,
yeah,
sure,
so, like,
sure.
more, like, contact. So, I'm really excited to wear, like, the baby carrier so I could always have the baby against me.
Yeah.
Things like that.
You should be able to just tilt your head down and kiss the top of
her
head. Exactly. That's where you sit him.
And my buddy, like, my one blind buddy, Nick, he uses, like, bells on his daughter's feet, like, in a bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm definitely going to use stuff like that.
That's smart.
And I'm wondering, like, when I'm home alone, I don't know, man. Like, it just scares me. But I'm thinking it's going to have to be, like, when we train Delta, my dog, like, 10 minutes at a time when you leave them. So, like, Kelly, go leave for 10 minutes, and I'll see if I can do this, you know? Like,
all right.
And then kind of take in increments. So that's a big thing. It's scary.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying.
It's exciting,
Listen,
though,
this is what I'm saying. This is what I love about this show. It's such a perspective check because I am a parent. I have sight. Now, I've lost my smell. I'm still not without 90% of my smell since December of 2020. And there have been times where the smoke detector went off. I couldn't smell smoke. There was an alert that hit our phones, like a Amber Alert, that said there was a natural gas leak in the neighborhood and people had to get out. I couldn't smell it. I couldn't smell the heaters in the house, nothing. And I was like, holy shit, this is actually fucking dangerous not to have. And then here you are coming into here talking about parenting without sight. And that's where I'm like, Ryan, shut the fuck up, bro. Shut up with your little smell shit.
Yeah, if you took my smell, I don't know what I'd do, though. I'd be screwed.
Well, you definitely could get a different fucking sport in a Paralympics. You got to be missing your smell and your sight for this
one. You can only have no smell for this one. We have to sign you up. Oh, man.
Okay, here's another question. How do you, I don't want to use the word train at all, but how do you teach is the word, someone who has sight to live with someone who doesn't? Like, what are the things you've had to teach Kelly and that you know you're going to have to teach your child?
Kelly, like, learns as we go. She, like, is a forward thinker, so she's kind of always thinking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kept running into we have a bed frame, and the edge is pretty sharp.
Yeah.
I kept running into it, cutting my shin, and she taped a pillow to it, so I wouldn't keep doing that. So, it's more like a learn as you go, but I think the kid will learn, like, just because that's its life, like, learning, like, just knowing the dad's blind and that he can't see. But then I'm worried the kid's going to think everyone else can't see and start right. treating people like that, too.
That's interesting, yeah. too. Yeah.
But like Dan's kid, for example, he's really thoughtful about different things, like helping his dad around if he needs it. So I'm just... I'm going to have to teach a lot through, like, feel, like, showing... Like, if I'm trying to teach my kid how to, like, shoot a basketball or something. That's one thing. I hate that I can't play catch with my kid. You know what I mean?
I was going
to
ask you about sports and catch and things like that. But I mean, maybe, you could play.
Yeah.
it's going to hurt. Yeah. But you could play.
Because when I was younger, I used to even have enough sight to where if you threw a football up high enough, mm-hmm. I could see it in the sky. Like that.
You could make out the shape.
Yeah, and like and then try and catch
follow it to your hands.
But it's going to be interesting. Like, my kid's going to know balls with bells in it and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Like, I'm definitely not going to let it stop me from doing that stuff. But also, like, I'm going to teach my kids so many other things that, like, they might not even worry about playing catch with me and stuff
that
like
was
that.
My next question is, what are the things those are your worries. What are you excited? What about
skateboarding, music, because I play guitar and sing, like, professionally, and doing stuff like that. Like, I jam with my dad. And that's, like, a really cool bonding experience that we have. I'm worried. I mean, I'm bummed I can't take my kid for a drive. Like, because I remember many moments driving with dad.
You could.
You didn't get pulled over. What are you going to do, take my license?
You better make sure he's in that baby seat buckled up right now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I hear you on that. That does.
Because I spent a lot of time with my dad in the car, and that was where a lot of, like, conversations happened.
Yeah, for
things
sure.
Things like that.
Music, you learn about music. Yeah, listen to that. Do you think you ever just go sit in the car and just be like, listen to this and listen to that?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, now you got like the echoes and stuff too, so I'd play that. I'm really going to bring this baby, like, try and mold it to our lifestyle because we travel so much. Mm-hmm. I know people are like, good luck, but like, I'm really going to try. Just if you raise it and that's all it knows, then it should be all right. I mean, there's going to be bumps.
It will be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
But that's the other thing, like, schedules. I know I'm not going to be able to train and then lay down all day, like, you know, like, have really hard workout sessions and then just kind of lay around. I'm going to have to be dad mode. So, like, changing my life like that. Like, I've said the dumbest things during this pregnancy. Like, Kelly will be like, oh, I'm feeling so fat. And I'll be like, yeah, I know, me too. And she's like, can you shut the fuck up for 9 months? And I don't know what made me say this. I regretted it right after I said it, but I was going through like one of those panic modes. Like, my life's about to change. Like, we were in Italy and we were like having dinner and just like date nights and stuff. And I looked at her, I was like, you better not be one of these moms that puts the baby first. She looked at me like, I don't know what made me say that. And I don't.
Fear.
Fear. Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, I still need to be first in your life. But just things like that. I felt every single emotion through this pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Like, fear, excitement, almost regret, but like not, you know, like,
well,
shit,
also,
what did I do?
I mean, I can understand having Kelly as your partner who helps you through everything, who now has to take care of a baby and you feeling like I'm going to be neglected or looked after less or taken care of less. And I'm here to tell you that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah, no doubt.
It has to happen.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, we do everything together with the social media content, she and the podcasting. She, like, films, edits, produces everything.
Damn.
She and has a full-time job after that, like, doing web development.
It's time to hire.
That's the thing. I'm hoping that things can take care of themselves where we could hire someone else too to help.
There's an old saying, with babies comes money. So
yeah. Hopefully I'm hoping more, like, people see I'm having a kid, so they'll, like, hire me for more stuff too. Because I do motivational speaking is, like, my main money gig. Mm-hmm. And been trying to just stack up as many jobs as I can before the baby comes and just getting ready. It sucks when you do your taxes. You're like, I had that much money that I spent? You know, like, I shouldn't have spent that much. But you're like, you have to reinvest all back in your business.
That's it.
Yeah, so everything we make basically goes right back in. Mm-hmm. And I'm nervous about how that's going to look, like, with trusting someone else to do certain things, you know, kind of give it, because it's your baby, like the stuff you've created.
Well, you got two of them.
Yeah.
Literal one and, yeah. Yeah. Listen, look.
You get it.
As a person with sight who is a fucking control freak when it comes to my shit too, man, it's not easy to let go and trust other people.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you are going to go through growing pains with that too, because you're going to find people who are, they don't have your work ethic. They don't have your hustle. They don't care as much because it's not necessarily theirs.
And they need to be told every little detail. Everything.
You want someone, especially too, in your life, you need a proactive person who is like, already did this, I did this, this is handled, this is done, this is checked off, we got this, still dealing with this, waiting on a call back from this. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly. That's exactly it. And I just have to trust that it's going to be all right, you know, put faith in it. And I pray a lot. So I'm like, you know, put it all up there too. Mm-hmm. And just, I know everything. You don't get in life, I really truly believe this, that you don't get anything handed to you that you can't handle. Like, no matter the situation, there's people that have been through the craziest stuff, but they get through on the other side. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm having anxiety.
I'm letting you have it too, dude.
I know. And Kelly's so proactive about all that stuff. Like, we do everything, like, from, you know, seed to sale. Like, it's just all the emails, the getting jobs, the outreach, the marketing, the everything. So just trying to hope that it's still good. Like, I could trust her with a camera, with a phone, that she's getting the right angles and that, you know, she can, because she has all the visual.
Now she's got to get the right angle to breastfeed the baby. Yeah. Somebody else has got to shoot that content.
I know. And then I'm going to be like, I can't film right now because the baby's crying, stuff like that. And it's just going to be a whole learning experience on top of everything else.
You'll handle it.
Yeah.
You'll handle it.
I know I will.
It's change. You know, change is always, I say it all the time, it's a pain in the ass. But honestly, it's the best fucking thing for you.
Yeah.
It always makes things better.
I truly believe that. And I think, like, it gives, like, the second she got pregnant, I felt like I was a dad already. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking differently. I started feeling differently about things. And it gives you a whole nother reason to live and not let your bullshit be so loud.
Yeah.
Like, your little depressions and things. Like,
exactly.
I've felt like my depressions, like things that would keep me down, like none of that shit matters anymore. And it's really powerful too, because I'm like, it's not that bad. Like, I'm about to have a kid that I have to keep alive and take care of and love and teach right from wrong and different things like that. So there's way too much stuff. I remember my dad looking at me, he's like, one day I was a little bummed out, like depressed. He's like, Anthony, you don't have time to be depressed anymore. You better pick this up, you know?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. Are there things you've already asked your dad about?
Just like, I used to cry to my dad in college that I was like, I don't know if anyone's ever going to love me. Like, because I'm blind, I'll never be able to have a family. No one will ever want to have a kid with me. Like, that was some of my biggest fears in life. Because when I was in high school.
Then he's like, son,
yeah,
you're a fetish. Let me show you this website over here. Yeah,
he's like, type this in Google. Dude. Oh man.
Shit, man.
That's great. I'm a fetish. The crazy thing is, Kelly had love tattooed in Braille on her wrist 7 years before we ever met.
How about that?
And she didn't know any blind people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. But because when I was in high school, I had a girlfriend that I was like very serious with.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in love. You know, you think it's like, you think you're going to marry this person, whatever, which everyone kind of feels in their first real love. And I'll never forget, we broke up because her parents were like, he's never going to be able to drive you around. He's not going to be able to take care of you. He's not going to be able to do this. And that messed up my psyche like so bad, like my confidence and self-worth and self-esteem, all that stuff. Like, I just felt like, who could ever love me then? So that was a tough one.
And now look at you.
Yeah, I can't believe it. It's, you know, like things have grown past my wildest like imagination and like what I ever thought. Like I used to be on Social Security, and I used to take that as like, you know, because they set you up to fail. It's like you can't have a certain amount of money in your bank account. You can't have an income, all this stuff. And the day I was able to say like, get out of my life to them, it was the most like freeing, growing, independent experience. Like I felt like I finally made it, you know, like, but there's so many other struggles that come with that, but I'll gladly take those to be independent from that stuff.
Good for you, dude. I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you.
This is a great episode, and you're going to be a great dad. You are. You know, you can. The fact that you care already and that you're already worried about it is a step ahead of most people.
Yeah.
It really is. So good for you, dude. Please plug and promote everything you'd like again.
Yeah. ASFvision.com. You can find everything on there, like the link to the documentary, Shot in the Dark, and then also like the Four Bad Eyes podcast. Please go listen to that. We're trying to grow it. And. Follow Kelly at Kellifer24 on Instagram too. She does all the edits and everything you see me doing. So, and reach out if you want us to come try anything in life. I'm trying to go skydive and do anything. So,
are you?
Yeah, I'll do anything all once.
Right. All right, brother. Well, thank you very
much. Thanks so much.
And thank you guys out there as well. Please go watch the special Lefty Son. Come see me on the road. Tickets available at ryansickler.com. And as always, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.